KWL listening.
K9DWL, this is WD9YPA. I can't talk very long, but I'm in the middle of something, but just wanted to pop in here and let you know that you're being heard.
Yeah, good to hear from you, K9TWL. Just got a new TY9000 1.2 meter radio up and going yesterday. So far I like it. Very pleased.
Yeah, okay. Yep, the twit. Yeah, if you ever put it in your car, make sure and don't leave the microphone in your car. Take it out in the winter time. I know someone that has a TYT9000 and he's had to buy 3 microphones so far.
Oh no, that's no good. Yeah, I pretty much plan on keeping this in my shack, in my house. I have a Yaesu VX6 if I'm mobile that I usually take with me.
Oh, you'll be just fine then. Yeah, there's something about the winter time. I don't know why, but it takes out the microphones, and I don't know. I think what it is, it might be because the guy, when he's talking into the mic, I think the moisture from his breath condenses in the cold microphone, and I think that might be what does him in. So, don't know, but that's just a particular thing. Maybe they fixed it, you know, on newer TYTs. So, I don't know. And it's funny you said 1.2 meters. It really is. They used to call it 1.25 meters, but now it's actually 1.2 because we don't get to use that bottom 2 megahertz anymore. Well, we get to use, the 1 megahertz segment that's under, we get 219 to 220, but we don't get 220 to 222. So, I think you're right in saying 1.2.
Yeah, cool. The FCC is still awesome bandwidth, so, but at least we still have something, I guess. But yeah, it's definitely in the 1.2 range now.
Yeah, UPS bought it, you know, and that's part of the auctioning that they do when they figure out that the hams aren't interested in using one of their, you know, some of their privileged frequencies. So the FCC says, well, it's time to auction some of this stuff off, and that's what they do. And then, of course, when they do, then a lot of the hams, they all get there, a lot of them get up in arms over it and say, hey, you know, what are you doing? You know, yeah, that happened back in the 11-meter days, of course, but they weren't using 11 meters. And that was kind of sad because the 11-meter band was, I guess it was really an awesome band, you know, for DX and stuff. So, I don't know. But now the CBers aren't even using it. I don't know. I don't hear any. Once in a while, for the fun of it, I'll tune around to see what's going on there. And it's like maybe one or two channels, you know, I'll hear stuff on there. And that's about it.
Yeah, it definitely makes sense why they sold it off. Might as well make better use of it if somebody else can use the bandwidth. But yeah, I haven't messed with CB for a long time. Dad was into it when I was a kid in the 70s and 80s. He was really into it and had a tower and everything at home. But I haven't really even listened to it recently. I thought if I ever run across a cheap radio, maybe I'll pick one up just for the fun of it.
I've got some sitting on the shelf I need to repair that some guys brought over, and they kind of abandoned them. So they're sitting around. I never got rid of them. And I don't know, maybe I'll fix one of them up and use it. I don't know. I don't know. Because some of this stuff, usually what I hear on there is the same stuff I hear on a lot of the HF bands. You know, I mean, all you have to do is tune around like 7200 or 3860. And lots of cussing and swearing. And it's like, would I ever encourage my grandson to get a ham radio license? I mean, you can't really show him too much stuff on the HF bands, you know, as far as phone, because there's so much cussing and swearing on amateur radio bands. It's pretty bad, I think. I realize people say, well, there's an on-off switch on your radio, or you got a dial, just tune the dial to another frequency. Well, yeah, I mean, how does my grandson unhear stuff like that?
Yeah, luckily I haven't heard a whole lot yet, but I know there's some bands to stay away from. Seen some online posts of some bands that kind of get hijacked by clubs and whatnot, and kind of stay away from those. They get really political and whatnot, but yeah, the bands I tend to navigate towards are usually pretty good. People follow the rules and have a nice time.
Well, yeah, and on the net the other night on 220, I run a net on there, and everything was going along just fine, and some guy starts talking about female body parts. And one of the guys said, well, we know where this is coming from, and they disconnected that repeater from the net. So, you know, they took action. But, you know, I don't know. I think, and I don't mean to, not trying to be mean toward no-coders, you know, the guys that don't know the Morse code, but I think when they dropped the code requirements, I think it allowed, I think there's some discipline to knowing the code, and I think it used to keep a lot of that riffraff off of the amateur radio bands.
Yeah, I agree. Actually, it's kind of funny because I'm sitting here right now putting together a co-training kit so I can start learning. But yeah, I agree. It's got a little bit too easy for some people to get in, and always kind of wonder how many technicians are using general frequencies and whatnot that shouldn't be.
Well, yeah, that's funny too. Yeah, there's a lot of that stuff going on FT8. There's a lot of technicians that are on the HF bands, you know, using FT8, and it's like, so, you know, of course, you know, we read about that stuff. They publish a lot of that stuff, like in the QST and that kind of stuff. So it happens. I don't. I mean, yeah. Either they cheated on the exam. They didn't study to figure out where their band edges are at. You know, what the frequencies are for the bands, or else they just plain outright, you know, take the chance and operate the digital modes on HF bands. So not everybody, you know, double checks to look through, you know, QRZ to see if they're legit, but anyway, it's a service. I look at ham radio as a service, not as a hobby. Is it a hobby? Yeah, it's a hobby, but I try to think of it as a service first. And I think a lot of guys have lost that concept of amateur radio. So, And I'm guilty of that. I mean, I like to experiment on it, which is what it's also for. But, it was intended to be a service, I guess. I mean, that at least that's what I read years ago. But I'm not trying to sound like a prima donna or anything. don't take me wrong either. But it's fine. But I say, you know, try to keep the cussing and swearing out of it. And that's what I don't like. And on this repeater, I don't mind if people talk about religion or politics. I don't have a problem with it, but don't start beating on, don't beat each other up over it. You know, when they start calling the other person names and saying you're stupid or, you know, that kind of stuff, then I have to interject and say, you know, look, this is going past the edge here. You know, you guys go cool off somewhere.
Yeah, I'm glad you do that. I really kind of like the 1.2 meter. Had a lot of good interactions on it, and I know it's not widely used anymore, but I'm glad there's still people out there that like it. And maybe it had a little bit of advantage to them that people are using it, are intentional about it.
Oh, I think it's a wonderful band, and I like how it's. I think it's an awesome band. Yeah, it's pretty cool. Where was I going with this? This is WB9YPA. I've had this machine here's been on since 1982. And there's been a lot of people that have come and gone over the years, and it used to be pretty busy. And the only time, there's only been a couple times where I've shut it off, and that was because people were getting loose with their tongue and swearing and stuff. And of course that's legal. You know, they can do that. It's their right. But I don't think it has to be broadcast. It's bad enough when another person has to hear it. And I try to stick to my guns on that. But anyway, enough said. I'm gonna digress over all that. But it's warming up today, and it's a beautiful day, and it's time I have to get out and pay some bills, finally.
Yeah, it is. It's getting nicer out, and I think it's going to be even better tomorrow. I have a Zygu G90 rig that I'm setting up for Parks on the Air, so I took it out in the backyard and kind of checked my setup today, get ready for that season. So, band's not great on the 20 meter today, but I did have some success, and looks like everything's working like it should.
What are you using for portable antenna? I understand this Zygu, or however that's pronounced. I think you pronounced it the right way. Those radios, I guess they're pretty good, but they're pretty expensive for a Chinese radio.
They're getting a little bit better in price now. I think I got mine for around $350. But it's surprising. There's a lot of features in it that people don't realize. It has a built-in antenna analyzer in it, which is really nice, especially for parks on the air. Built-in tuner. It can do SDR, quite a few things. But yeah, it's got quite a bit of punch for what it is. Antenna-wise, today I was using it's a JVC. It's a whip antenna with a center load on it that I've seen on several people on YouTube use for parks on the air, and I really like it so far. It's pretty easy to set up to tune. Then I have some infets also that I can use for that. K9TWL.
K9TWL, this is WB9YBA. Yeah, very good. Okay, so you're pretty happy. Obviously, you're happy with the way the antenna system works for you. And so you're not using a tuner. The antenna is resonant then, I take it. I'm not familiar with that particular antenna, but yeah, you don't have, the other question is there an antenna tuner built into the rig?
There is, yes. There is an antenna tuner in that rig, and also an antenna analyzer, so you can do SOWR, and you can also do an antenna test.
Okay. All right. Excellent. Yeah, are you using one of those little network analyzers?
No, I haven't gotten into one of those yet. Mostly I've just been using the one built into the G90. I have a FT891 also, Yaesu, that I can take with me, and I have an external tuner for that one.
Oh, that's nice. That's great. Yeah. Going back to that, what do they call those network analysts, those low-cost, unbelievably powerful network analyzers that you can hold in your hand? I don't own one. I bought one and gave it to gave it to my colleague as a Christmas gift. And he wouldn't open it. He thought I gave him a box of chocolates, and I'm like, no, I don't give guys boxes of chocolates. I don't do that. I says, it's not chocolates. And so finally, like 2 weeks after I got it for him, he opened it up. But I'm thinking of buying one for myself because I don't always have to pack my HP network analyzer everywhere I go. You know, sometimes I don't have to have the calibrated accuracy of the HP or the dynamic range that it offers. And sometimes something like that is powerful enough to do what I need to do with it. So, yeah, carting around a 65-pound network analyzer, let me tell you what, I'm getting old.
Yeah, I don't think I'd enjoy that at all either. But I can definitely see why your friend thought that. I've seen the box for one of those things. This is like a little black box. With, the one I've seen has gold lettering, so I see how that'd be easy to think it was something else.
Well, it was in the gift wrap, and he wouldn't open. I said, open it. He says, oh, yeah, I'll get around to it.
So I'm glad I finally got around to it, and hopefully he's enjoying that. Yeah, I've been thinking about getting one myself. I think it'd be kind of a handy little tool to have.
I had purchased a few years ago, maybe it's been 5 years ago or so, and I, for the heck of it, I wasted my money on I paid $300, I think is what, those MFJ, MFJ antenna analyzers. And well, it was small, portable, and it was a lot lighter than 65 pounds. And I thought, this thing might be okay for just doing quick impedance measurements and stuff just to see if I'm in a ballpark and, checking capacitors and inductors, measuring and the inductance and stuff. And I'm like, nope. I'd hook a capacitor up. I'd take like a 0.01 microfarad disc ceramic capacitor and hook it up, and sometimes it reads 0.01, and then other times it would read 0.001. And I'm like, nope, this is not going to fly. So I complained to MFJ about it, and they never give me a solution for it.
Huh, that's interesting. Yeah, I've looked at the MFJs. Also looked at Rig Expert, which seems to be a pretty popular one. I just can't get myself to spend that much money on one.
No, I get that. Yeah, they're pretty salty, but they are really nice. They work very well. I've never had one, but I just know that from people I've talked to about them, they're really decent. And then those cheap under $100 network analyzers, those things are amazing. They're surprisingly good for what they are. I have to say, my hat's off to the Chinese engineer that designed that. It was, yeah, that's pretty neat. And then the other one that's really good is that, and I'm trying to remember the name of that company. And, you know, it's the one with the cross needles in it. And those things are really nice.
You have to try to look that up. I don't think I'm familiar with that one.
Just a bit. I'll let you know. Oh, man, I can't think of it. It looks like, you know, like one of those SWR bridges, you know, with the cross needles. It's got two of those. And, yeah, those things are really nice, too. And they're not too cheap. They're, I think, around, I don't know, maybe $500, but they're compact and they work well. Yeah, they work really good. And they have a little display, little LCD color display in them that shows like the impedance and the band. And yeah, they're much nicer than what the MFJs were.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about now. I was looking on Gigaparts the other day for some antenna wire, and I saw a couple of those. But yeah, definitely looked interesting, like a really nice unit. They had pretty good beams on them.
Yeah. So there's some pretty neat tools that hams have access to nowadays. Instead of having to pack around, I can remember the days in broadcast work where I had to pack this general radio bridge and then had to have an RF generator to feed it, and then, and then a meter to look at the null, and oh my gosh, it's nice.
I think I lost you there. You kind of faded away.
Sorry about that. I was just saying how nice it is that we have all these nice, powerful tools to work with. And, you know, and a lot of people take that stuff and take those for granted.
Yeah, definitely. It's nice having the lesser expensive things. This service and hobby can get expensive pretty quickly.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yep. And when you look to see what kind of, you know, what design, what engineering goes into making that stuff work, and we look at something like that, we just say, it's just something, you know, like, man, I my hat's off to the engineers that designed this stuff, and it works, you know, and it does its job well.
Yeah, definitely. It's quite amazing what they can do in such little packages now. Over the years, being in IT, just seeing the first mainframes to what they can do now is just incredible.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Hey, do you go back to the days before the PVP-11s and the PVP-8?
Oh, gosh. When I learned computers in high school, they showed us punch cards. That was in the early 80s. But, I worked on some RISC, IBM RISC servers before, some pretty large ones. But I've seen stuff before that, but I've never worked on anything like anything before that.
Okay. Yeah, all right. Totally despised computers when I was going to school. I was learning Fortran. I hated it. I hated computers because I knew computers were used for, you know, for tracking people's data and that kind of stuff. And that was way back in the 70s. And I already had that mentality. But I had to take my final exams, and I went to one of the guys, my friend John Schlegel, and I went to him and I said, John, I says, I have to get a passing grade out of the computer science. I said, I need help. Could you help me? And John says, I'll help you. He said, sit down. So I sat down with John. And John, he started showing me, you know, helping me with the Fortran 77. And the light bulb came on. And I'm like, oh my God. So I ended up with a C average because for the final exams, I got A's on the test for the computer science stuff. So that guy was an amazing mentor. And, so I've lost track of John, but he was a ham too. So he lived in the Philadelphia area. So anyway, I got to run. I'm here in front of the site, and I've got to jump in there.
T-O-T-B-I-S. T-O-T-B-I-S. Node SS connected to 220 hub. TOTBIS. Node SS connected to 220 hub. TOTBIS. Node SS connected to 220 hub. Holland, remote, on. Penetrating the bay like no one else can. This is the W8CMN repeater in Guilford.
KC9YNM, this